The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
So, Bulls strike in free agency. Wasn't a lot of surprise yesterday. Now, the big fish, the number one guy out there, is Kawhi Leonard. And he has opted out of his deal with the Clippers. We'll see where he heads, or does he stay there? A lot of people believe he will stay there. We'll find out.
Well, nothing against the President of the United States or our federal government, Cap, but if you want someone to have the nuclear codes, give it to Kawhi Leonard. You'll never know what's going on.
That guy.
Give him the secrets of the United States of America, and he will keep it. You'll never know what's going on. His circle is so tight, Cap, you have no idea. Now, he's mysterious because you think, okay, let's run it back with the Clippers. No. Like, after being with San Antonio and then going to Toronto, winning a championship, winning one with San Antonio, goes to the Clippers, who knows where he's going to go? It'd be nice, again, for him to be a Chicago Bull, but that's the thing. I think the Bulls are trending in the right direction because when I see Lonzo Ball, and people will think the Lonzo Ball from the Lakers. I talked to Joel Myers, the veteran voice of the Pelicans for the Under the Hood basketball podcast. It's available right now on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed. Long-form conversation about the NBA and free agency. He says the thing that he's resonated with him with the Pelicans is that he can stroke it now. Now he's looking for three. He shot 37% from three last year. It wasn't him just making Zion better and others better. He was looking for his own stroke. So that's the difference in Ball. The ability to get it exactly where you want it if you are one of his teammates as far as his passing ability. And then, of course, the ability now to shoot the ball from the outside, getting better with it, which is great.
312-332-3776. What do you think about Lonzo Ball coming here? Are you excited that the Bulls look like, actually both winter teams, Bulls and Blackhawks, have at least taken some positive steps in the offseason? I'm not saying you're going to see titles, but they're better. Space and Plainfield, what's up, man?
Cap, Hoodie, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Space, okay.
man, I'm ecstatic as a Bulls fan, man. I feel like you, Hoodie. I like the fact that they opened the door to free agency, and the Bulls just knocked it over. You know what I'm saying? We going after who we want. You know, unfortunately, I love the fact that Derrick Rose did sign with New York.
Yeah.
I like the idea of bringing Rose and Lonzo here. But, you know, we got Lonzo. I think he's going to help groom AO. We got Caruso, tough as nails. I would love to get DeMar DeRozan or Kawhi Leonard, one of the two. Like you said, I don't think that Larry Markkinen is going to be here. But, I mean, we still got a good core. Can we compete with Brooklyn? No. But we're still just like one piece away. So I'm ecstatic that they're making the moves. I got faith that we're going to land another big free agent. That's all. I think we're one piece away, one big piece away from being contenders, in my opinion.
Space, let's talk about it. And we appreciate your telephone call, as
Thanks,
always.
Space.
Yeah. You know, again, this is incremental steps. Just remember what the measuring stick is. The measuring stick is the Brooklyn Nets. That's the measuring stick. Even though the Bucks have won the championship, just understand that the Nets have a big three. And I'm not taking anything away from the Bucks because Giannis was great when he needed to be. They won the championship. But still, it's hard to beat a threesome. Probably the most talented threesome that we have seen in the NBA as far as scoring ability. Three guys that could take over a team at any time. And by the way, mentioning Derrick Rose, we talked about that a couple of days ago too, Cap, the ability for the Bulls to get Derrick Rose. I think Rose will retire as a Bull, but just not yet. Not yet. Even you said, you know what, I think he's still got good basketball left in him. I agree. But just if he's not ready to retire, I see him coming over like via trade in a year or two. and then ending his career with the Bulls, which would just be complete poetry. I'd love that.
He gets $43 million to stay in New York with his guy Tibbs.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he's happy, and he had a good run there last year. So, again, the Bulls have gotten better.
Yeah.
They've taken steps. For me, the biggest difference in that team will be the steps that Patrick Williams takes. Mm-hmm. Patrick Williams has a chance to be a really, really good player.
Could you explain for our new listeners about Zach LaVine and the contract situation? Because we didn't get to it, really, because we've been so busy with baseball and the deadline and all that. But could you explain to everybody the Zach LaVine deal? Because the last thing we saw is Zach says, I want my respect. And eventually he will get it, right?
So Zach LaVine talked about getting respect, and I don't have the sound on my board, but
no, but you talked about the money, how it's better next year for him, right?
Correct. So if you sign him now, you have to use your cap space. If you sign him after next year, now the risk is he's unrestricted. He could say, I don't want to be here. I'm going somewhere else. But if you sign him after next year, you can go over the cap and use your bird rights, what they're called, and pay him a whole lot more money. Like, it's not like a $1 million difference. It's like tens of millions of dollars difference. So he said, I want my respect, but we'll keep this internally and we'll work through it because he wants to be here. If Arturas can make all these moves, he and Mark Eversley, and then next year, Zach says, hey, I'm in. Make all the moves. I'm in. Then they can pay him a lot more money after next season.
So you think that, see, here's what I look at with the NBA, especially when we see the Brooklyn Nets and what they have, the Bucks and what they have. Look at what the Bulls have as far as now what you would consider their three, and then compare it to the best teams in the East. Philly, Brooklyn, Bucks. That's when you say, okay, you got to do more, right?
Correct.
Because like you and I both like Zach LaVine. I said that he's like the modern-day Reggie Theus, in which he's a guy here that could be able to score at any time, but he was on a losing team. And so now you're just wondering how the Bulls can bolster up what they have offensively other than LaVine, other than what they have on this roster. And by the way, a side note with this whole thing with the Knicks, by the way, you know, listen, I know that you've got friends in the organization, and I know people in the organization, but just, again, no matter what people text us and send to us, you have to look at the reality. So the Knicks, they're back, right? Get to the playoffs, they're back. You signed Derrick Rose, Evan Fournier, and you have Alec Burks. That doesn't sound like you're back.
No.
That doesn't sound like you're back.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, all the splash, right? Leon Rose, all these guys, right? Tom's back, and this is what you do in free agency in day one? That's what you do?
There's got to be another shoe to drop.
Not back. You're not back.
Not yet. There's got to be another. See Red Fred's pouring his coffee right now going, told you. I told you.
But, I mean, no. Day one, you're supposed to make your splash, right? Where's their splash? That's your splash? I mean, Derek played well, I think well enough to be able to earn a contract. I am surprised at the money. I am surprised with that because you don't know how many games he's going to actually play. But I just know that he was a nice little stopgap, did a lot of good things for you. But your first day of free agency and this is who you are? Nick's not back.
Not yet.
Not back.
Here's Zach LaVine about his contract.
I'd want my respect. I think that's the main thing. Like you said, I'll play my contract. You know, I've been very loyal to Chicago. I like Chicago. I just want my respect. And, you know, if that's, if it's now or later, you know, it's something that we got to work out internally. And we'll go from there. So we'll have some conversations going forward. I think free agency is going to play a big part in that with, other players and constructing a roster. But for me, AK, Mark, all talking, we'll get to the bottom of it.
The bottom line is, if he's your one, can you win a championship with Zach LaVine? Can you win a Central Division championship when Zach LaVine is your one? It's tough.
So with Lonzo, Zach, Vucevic, the key is Patrick Williams, I'm not saying in year two, he's 19, he's just turning 20.
Yeah.
By the time he's 23, he's a baby, is he now an all-star? You drafted him number four overall. That's the big key.
Well, you'd hope he would turn into Jimmy Butler.
Right.
That story of just a defender at Marquette, just a defender in his first couple years with the Bulls and blossoms into a two-way player. That's the hope, right?
That's the hope.
I don't know if that's what you need to be able to get another quality scorer and then try it from there. Because, again, it's a top-heavy East where I see the Bulls, based on what they did yesterday, Cap, that's sixth or seventh in the East at this point in time.
I think it's a playoff team.
No question.
I do think they're a playoff team. Again, I'm not the hugest Lonzo Ball fan. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
What's the matter with him? I gave you the numbers. I said he's getting better from three.
No question.
And great. And can here's a guy here that can lead the league in assists. Now, I won't say that he will, but he can as far as the way he distributes the basketball. That's actually his hallmark. But he's getting better shooting from the outside.
He is.
You've asked for a point guard for months. You got one.
For years.
Okay, so now you got it.
Exactly. It's an improvement. Absolutely.
Did you have another point guard in mind that you wanted? Because that's...
I wanted them to trade for Damian Lillard.
Well.
That he has not moved yet. That would have been great. I heard Dennis Schroeder had talked to the Bulls, and he wanted north of $100
million. No shot.
No shot.
Nobody has a more inflated ego about himself at his position than Dennis Schroeder.
Correct.
He told LeBron, he's like, I'll be glad to come in and help you. And LeBron said, well, excuse me? You want to help me? How? Like, I'm LeBron James. What do you mean you're going to help me? It's like, oh, I could do so many things on the floor. I could do, like, that's why he's not with the team anymore.
Correct. He's sitting out there unrestricted.
Yeah.
I wanted Mike Conley. He loves it in Utah. He got 70-some million dollars. I get it. He's happy. So we'll take Lonzo and move on. See where it goes.
I think it's a fine move for the Bulls.
All right. We play Hoodwink next. Is Hoodie telling us the truth or trying to trick us? 312-332-3776. Call our 10 right now. You got a chance to win dinner for you and your family from Lou Malnati's authentic Chicago deep dish. Be right back.
The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and J-Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I say he made my shot. Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say he made my shot.
Shot, no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. And then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. You don't even have to get out of your car. Danny, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, Danny.
News just came in from Adrian Wojnarowski. Jonathan Hood has signed the three-year max for $78.2 million.
I'll be doing the show from St. Thomas.
Can I come with you?
Absolutely.
I'll live in the guest driver.
Danny and I have made a pact that we're not going to retire, but we're going to run a radio station in the islands. So we're never going to retire. We're going to be vacationing, but still like we're going to be like a working retirement.
Sounds like fun.
You know how when we do like remote broadcasts and we sit outside and we're at a bar and the fans are there and it's a great experience? Hoodie and I are going to do that every day outside at a beach. we'll be in St. Thomas. If someone listens to us, is on vacation in St. Thomas, the station's open. Come visit us. Come see the show.
I heard you're going to need a guy who can acquire some things.
Oh.
Is that you, Red?
If you could acquire the sound here, I'd be happy. My wife said to me yesterday at dinner, if we got a letter, registered mail.
Did you say a letter?
Yes. She said, registered mail. Yes, please sign this. It's a letter, and it says, you just inherited $1 billion from a long-lost uncle you didn't even know existed. $1 billion. She said, what would you, first thing you'd do? And I'm not exactly sure. I definitely would buy a jet. I've told Hoodie, we're going to games. We're going to be all. But my wife said she never, ever again wants to wake up in a city where it's below 80.
Yeah, I'm with her.
So she said, sure. We have $1 billion. I want a jet. And every day I want a butler that says it's going to be 71 here today or 64. And she says, hello, pilot, fire up the plane and find me somewhere where it's going to be in the 80s. Let's go. She said that would be the greatest quest ever. I'm a billionaire and I can every day I go somewhere where the weather's beautiful every day for as long as we're alive.
If I was a billionaire, we'd be hanging out 7 days a week because we'd be going to every concert and every game.
We would.
Cap, what are you doing? I got the rush today. Espresso. Screw that. We're going. We're going to this game. I'm in.
Let's go.
See ya.
Mindy, I'll be back late. Hoodie and I are going to Portland to see the Blazers and the Spurs tonight.
So Hoodie and I were at the Rose Garden last night, the Moda Center. My God, the Bulls looked awful. We were there in the front row, and boy, we had a great time. We flew in this morning for the show. By God, Hoodie, that was awful. Was it worth the fuel to go?
That's what life.
I want to do.
What a life. All right, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. So we've spent the morning talking about NBA free agency. It's been fast. It's been furious. I ask you guys this, shot or no shot, the NBA free agency period, specifically the first day, is more exciting than any regular season NBA basketball game.
Oh, no, that's a no shot. It depends on the regular season game, right?
Correct.
That would be a Christmas game I like. And the NBA, you can always find something that's interesting. Even the middle-of-the-road teams, especially when you've got a skin in the game financially. So there's always interesting games. But there's nothing like the NBA free agency, man, because day one, all of a sudden, it starts Lonzo Ball to the Bulls. Now, you know these deals are already taking place maybe days before, but officially it happened yesterday. So I enjoy the free agent frenzy. I do. But I think there's regular season games that I also like a lot more.
Yep. I'm with Jonathan. There are some very intriguing games during the season. I watch more NBA hoop than I ever thought I would. I enjoy it greatly. When my team, though, is involved in free agency, it's not, oh, yeah, we re-signed Ryan Archie Diacono. No disrespect to him. No. We went out and spent, what, $121 million yesterday? Game on. They're a better team today.
Yeah.
Danny.
While we talk NBA free agency, gentlemen, the New York Knicks and Derrick Rose agreed to a three-year, $43 million deal. Many Bulls fans have held out hope for a long time that D. Rose would one day wear that Bulls uniform once again. Shot or no shot, with this new three-year deal, the D. Rose reuniting with the Bulls ship has sailed.
Oh, that's a no shot. You know, I know that Art Carney and Eversley don't have the same relationship with Rose the way Jerry does. But I think Jerry, deep down, would like to see Rose retire in a Bulls uniform.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a day. I don't think it'll be in the next 1 or 2 years because he signed a three-year deal with the Knicks. So I don't see him coming here for a while, but I could see, what is he, 32?
Yeah.
Like a 37-year-old Derrick Rose going, all right, this is it. I'm done. And he comes back here for, at the very least, he signs a one-day deal and retires a Bull. But I think he plays like one more season down the road.
By the way, you asked me how old Lonzo Ball was. I told you 23. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's been around for 10 years.
Correct.
Like
he's 23 years old.
Right. So we have to put in perspective, like, he's getting better every year.
Correct.
Like, I know it's the NBA, and as soon as they hit the NBA floor, they're supposed to be Michael Jordan, everybody. But that's not the curve for everybody. I think that he's getting better. And when you think about 23, because we've heard the Ball name, LeVar, Lonzo, LaMelo, you're like, these guys have been around for a decade, right? No, he's only 23. He's going to get better.
So Lonzo Ball is one of the worst. In fact, he is among the worst players in pick and roll, which is a staple of an NBA offense. Mm-hmm. Screen roll, boom. He's terrible. He shot 21% on those screens, and that's making him in the bottom quarter of all players in the league who ran at least 500 of those plays. That said, he's 23.
Well,
and he's an upgrade from what we've done.
For perspective, look at the other side. Put that stat in the mirror. Who starts the pick and roll and who's able to make others better? Now, him on the receiving end of it, him scoring, not very good. But him starting the pick and roll and trying to put people in position, He's very good at that.
And his free throws have gone from 44% as a Laker to 57 last year, up to 78%. They said he works like a dog in the gym. God bless. If you're going to work that hard, you're going to keep getting better. Danny.
Gentlemen, yesterday at Hallis Hall, Matt Nagy proclaimed Andy Dalton is ready to roll. Nagy said, quote, 100%, he's got full control of this offense. Without a doubt, we could play a game tomorrow and be just fine. All reports out of camp are that Dalton is crisp, he's sharp, he's in control of the offense. Justin Fields added yesterday that a lot of people are anxious to see him play, but, quote, greatness doesn't happen overnight, basically saying he's not ready yet. We're all excited about the future at the quarterback position with Justin Fields, but I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you feel much better about this Bears season now with Dalton as QB1.
I just keep hearing from people up there how good he's looked and how much sharper the offense is than it was a year ago. In fact, somebody up there yesterday said to me, you could add all the good plays Mitch and Foles made last year, and they don't equal what we've seen from Andy so far.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this team's still got a lot of talent on it. I think the offensive line's going to be better. I think the defense is going to be better. They need good health. I'm not predicting a 14-3 season in the Super Bowl, but I do think they'll be better. So, yes, I feel better about the team.
I'll say no shot because I will listen to exactly what Danny said. And it's not because of the quarterback. It's because of health. And it's because of the offensive line. It's because of Allen Robinson. It's because of hopefully a healthy defense. So not because of Dalton necessarily, but all the parts around him that can make everything work. And again, work is a relative term because looking at that schedule, when I say work, that might be 10 wins. That might be not. I don't know. Because I think that every time you see Dalton, there's a ceiling there, right? We know that with Justin Fields, there's hope, but there's a ceiling with Dalton. So, Danny, just to listen to your question closely, it's not because of Dalton. It's everything around him that can make things work. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Danny.
Let's stick with the quarterback position, boys. The Indianapolis Colts will be without their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz, for between 5 and 12 weeks because he's got to have foot surgery. 2020 fourth round pick Jacob Eason is the placeholder for now, but we all know the Colts desperately need to find a veteran to fill Wentz's shoes. Foles told reporters yesterday when he met the media that he feels that he's better than the third string role he's currently in. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, your boy Nick Foles is the Colts' best option to replace Carson Wentz.
That's a shot.
Shot. Please let that happen, Lord. Please let that happen because you say lightning doesn't strike twice, Cap, right? It could. You know, in Philadelphia, Foles walks on water, right?
Correct.
You know he does.
They love him.
And you know what he is here, right?
He is the third string quarterback who has less of a chance of playing than almost anybody. He's nice guy. He's not going to play here. If he's playing, well, we got real troubles because that means our top two both went down. Real trouble.
I'm just envisioning the Bears making this deal, Foles for a seventh rounder, sixth rounder, whatever, right? And then there's Wentz rehabbing. He looks up, oh, God, you again. You're going to replace me again?
Yeah, he's not a big fan.
Oh, wouldn't that be something, man? Wouldn't that be Danny, that rarely, I don't think it ever happens where you have the guy that replaced you get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and it could happen again with the Colts where, again, Foles can replace Wentz with this foot injury.
You know what they say about karma? Like, somehow Carson Wentz must have done something to somebody somewhere where Nick Foles is always hunting him down to reward his karma.
Someone told me that when the Bears went through their process of evaluating all the quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, anybody that might get moved, and we haven't seen either of those guys get moved, all the free agents, that Matt called Doug Peterson and said, okay, tell me about Carson Wentz, because he understands the scheme, we run the same type stuff, stay as far away as you can. That's what Matt was told.
Well, we got super lucky because remember over the summer before they drafted Justin Fields, we were talking about the possibility of the Bears trading for Carson Wentz, and a lot of people were on board saying it's a better option, and people were excited for that possibility. How lucky did we get, right? Like, yeah. He had a broken, cracked bone in his foot
that rebroken practice. That could have easily happened at Halas Hall just the other day.
It probably would have.
Which would have set the franchise back how many more years when you trade away picks and all that?
Ugh. Foles or Eason?
Foles.
Foles or Sam Ellinger?
Foles.
Foles or Brett Hundley?
Foles.
Yeah.
Where is Jacoby Brissett now? Because they're going to rue the day they didn't bring that guy back.
Brother Brissett, where is he now? That's a good question. Where have they buried him? Jacob
Dolphins.
Eason.
Dolphins. He's the Dolphins' backup quarterback.
Oh, backup to Tua.
Backup to Tua.
Okay. There you have it.
Because they let Fitzmagic go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There you have it, Cap.
And again, it will not save the Bears significant cap space because of the way the deal's structured, but it moves him off the roster. And if you get a seventh round pick, that's better than nothing.
I want him off this roster. It doesn't make sense for him to be on this roster. He has an opportunity to start for the Colts. They're not going anywhere, but at least he'd have a job. He deserves better than that.
But some of the reporters at Halas Hall are saying that Nick Foles going up against the threes is making them better because he has such a far better grasp of the offense, and he's better than any three quarterback you'd ever face, that in some way it's a good thing he's there because he's improving the play of the back end of the roster.
And that means Tyler Bray is nowhere. So time to move on. The Tyler Bray ship has sailed. I said ship with a P. All right. An unreal, unbelievable, and sad story out of the NFL.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So,
a lot to unpack there. We're going to miss those chats with our guy. I've been dealing with him, as I said, for 9 years, and you and I have had him on every week throughout the season for the whole first year of our show, which the anniversary is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I did a billion interviews with him, and he's a wonderful person to deal with. He is. I mean, that guy, I remember I told you this up in the IDOT bullpen, and I don't have to stand stretched to see the
You don't have to.
Because I already did it.
Don't want to hurt you.
I said to him one day, hey, man, can we sit down tomorrow and tape whatever it was he wanted taped for something? And he's like, tomorrow's not going to work. I'm going to Lurie, to the Children's Hospital. I said, that's perfect. I'll bring I'll have a camera guy with me, and we'll film you doing it. He goes, nope, I don't go so that it gets on TV.
Right.
I go because it's the right thing to do. And he would not let me film him, ever. There's a couple shots the hospital's put out, but he was not that guy. He was legit. He was in it for the right reasons.
All right, Cap, let's lock in here on the interview, the conversation we just had with Riz. There is a common denominator that no one signed. Who's he talking about? What's the common denominator?
Whether that's ownership or Theo and Jed not getting deals done, it's any combination of Theo, Jed, and Tom Ricketts.
Well, it's common denominator, not denominators. It's one thing. It's got to be one factor. That must be ownership. Now, I will say this, that we have seen the same old from the Cubs since 2017, where there's a ceiling to their success. They get on the ladder of success. They are able to have a great regular season, great moments in the regular seasons. They get to the playoffs and they fall short. The team never was able to attain the success they had in 16 after the championship. And so if you are management, you look at it and you say, okay, if this team can't hit, if this team can only scratch out 2 runs or less, 3 runs or less, and the team continues to underachieve while the Dodgers get better, Padres get better, then you got to do something. I have been steadfast in the belief that after the 18 season, the Cubs should have been able to change some of their parts. Jed was on with us yesterday and said that one wholesale change or two wouldn't have changed the fortunes. Well, you didn't try. You didn't try enough, because otherwise you would have seen it. Moving Kyle Schwarber was not the elixir to fix the Cubs.
Correct.
Firing Madden or firing Chili Davis was not the elixir to fix the Cubs. They need to hit. Though after a couple of years, if you see the team can't get it done, at least in 19, Cap, you got to say, okay, we've got to be able to do something else differently with this offense. And if that meant that's going to hurt some feelings from Cup fans, if you're trading Rizzo or Bryant or someone else, you just have to do what's best to get more offense or a different offense than what you already had.
So
what is he talking about there?
I think it's a combination of all of it because he was offered $70 million. Now, that was less than he and his team wanted, his agency. But he was offered $70 million.
For how many years? Three, four?
5 years.
Okay.
So
keep sitting like this for the Yankees, will be making more.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. And I hope he kills it, man. I love that dude.
Yeah.
But they did offer him significant money, and I think had he gone back and said, okay, make it 80, we'll do a deal. It gets done. I do. I think he wanted 100. That's my guess. 5 for 100, I think, would have gotten it done. I just don't believe that. I think it was a combination of everything, and once he moved one or had deals in place to move Baez and Bryant and Rizzo, that's it. I'm moving them all. And I'm starting over.
Maybe someone would have been paid. I don't know which players, but maybe a couple of would have been paid if we're not going through the pandemic of 2020. Because owners can use that as an excuse or a reason. However you want to frame it, Cap, either a reason or an excuse. Either one. But you know that the payrolls across the board were pretty much frozen after 2020 because there was no butts in seats. As Jeff Passan told us, all these owners have money. They could have spent it. They just did not. Mm-hmm. But from the owner's standpoint, just from their perspective, they're seeing a ball club that can't get it done on a regular basis. Are you in it to just win divisions, or are you trying to really seriously contend for a championship?
Correct.
Now, I know that there is a closeness from Cub fans. Look, after the interview that we did with Jed yesterday, you've seen it on social media. People don't believe Jed. They think he's lock in step with management, with ownership, feeling like this is BS. You can bring these guys back. But what more proof do you need that you need to have new parts around Baez or Bryant or Rizzo to be able to try to increase your chances to win? What I'm suggesting is not a guarantee. I'm just saying that that core that stayed together could not get it done. Right?
You're correct.
Okay, so like, you know, from management standpoint, they're like, okay, let's see what this team can do. They can't do it, so we got to blow it up. Now, as I told you, I knew this was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen too. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get exactly the players that you really wanted after these deals. You got pennies on the dollar. Nothing wrong with having Mendick and Hoyer on the team. They might be building blocks for you for the future, but the rest of these guys?
Madrigal.
Madrigal. What did I say?
Mendick.
Oh, sorry. Madrigal.
We did better than that.
Same difference.
Yeah.
For Madrigal and Hoyer. That might be building blocks for your future, but the rest of those guys? Who knows?
All right. So after hearing Anthony's interview and his comments, do you think Cubs brass ruined a good thing? What's your takeaway after hearing Anthony? 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
Take that.
That's next.